Continue to pray for Cheryl Hayes. Her pancreatic surgery was a good one, but we're still waiting test results in terms of the pathologies on that, but she's very thankful for your prayers. Wayne Engel needs your prayers as well. The details are a bit sketchy, but some kind of fracture in the neck that he suffered a couple days ago, and it's in the hospital memorial right now, and so continue to lift him up in your prayers. And I've heard new reports of people with a new diagnosis of cancer, those kinds of things. We're praying for you. We'll put those on the list and, of course, announce those that happen when we're allowed to do so. But some community members with cancer that people love and care about, continue just to pray for these families as well. It's good to see you here this morning. I am, for those of you who don't know, I'm from Montana, and we've set a rule here at the church that it's acceptable to miss worship if on two conditions, either 30 below or 3 feet of snow. So it's not that way at all, and you're here, you're tough, I like that, I don't need a tough church. It's been amazing weather, you almost have to move to North Dakota to be able to utilize that rule of 30 below and 3 feet of snow. Unbelievable. I know last week I said I wasn't going to do any more Exodus texts, but I am. I want to go back to one that I went past that I really didn't want to go past. And it's one that's going to help us lead us into Advent. It's a short text. It's going to be a short discussion on the text today as we head into communion. But it's going to be Exodus chapter 13. And I'm going to be talking about the leading of God by means of clouds and light. Again, these kind of Exodus texts are not typically ones you use for Christmas, but you'll see that with God leading his people, there's a lot of connections to the Advent texts. 13, verses 17 through 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. Because Joseph had died in Egypt. And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Ethem on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. It's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would help us to see the way in which you, in fact, lead us. For we need to be led, and we need to trust how it is that you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. It's really only in mathematics that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. It's obviously true. Point A, point B, draw a straight line. That's the shortest way to get there. In life, nothing is that way. Life is quite different than the shortest distance to get to where you want to go. For those of you who have had the privilege of climbing mountains, this is a frustrating reality. But you stand at the trailhead, you look at the top of the peak to where you're going to end up going. The shortest distance is not that straight line. If you were to follow that straight line, you may find yourself in the middle of a lake, or an impenetrable forest, or an unscalable rock wall. To climb a mountain is a difficult deal. Sometimes it requires you to go downhill to get to a new rise so that you can catch the trail once again. Sometimes it requires you to go two or three saddles over in the opposite direction of the peak in order to catch another ridge line to go up to the top. Sometimes you have to wait and camp. Sometimes you have to brave the elements. In life, from point A to point B, particularly in the Christian life, it's always a circuitous journey. It's never just the shortest distance. It's never the easiest path. It's never the clearest, clutter-free way. It requires a trust to know that when you're going downhill, you still will be ending up going uphill eventually. That when you're lost in darkness at one point, you know that the sun's going to come up again and lead you to a new vista. It's such a unique experience to climb a mountain. It's such a unique experience to live life. And God, in his miraculous deliverance of the people of Israel through wonders and signs from the hand of Pharaoh, brought his people out, and the shortest distance from point A, slavery in Egypt, to point B, the promised land, was a straight line through the land of the Philistines. It was a land full of amenities. Civilization was there. Food was there. Power was there. Politics was there. But also struggle was there. Immediate war. And God says, no, I'm not going to lead them that way. I'm going to lead them in the roundabout way through the wilderness. And he takes them down to the Red Sea, a seemingly powerful obstacle, which he obliterates and allows them to go through. Then has them wander through the desert for a good 40 years until they reach point B. 40 years of grumbling, 40 years of messing up, 40 years of wondering if there's going to be food on the table, 40 years of slowly constructing a worshiping community, 40 years of trying to make sense of this promise that someday they're going to be in a land of milk and honey. But after 32 years, 33, 34, it's pretty easy to kind of give up on that, isn't it? They weren't ready, though. God had to do something in them before they could come into the promised land to be able to be mature enough to defend themselves, to start this life, and to do so in such a way that they would not be tempted to bow down to the other idols of the other cultures. We saw how quickly they did that when they were delivered and decided to make their own golden calf. God has to do something within us, and it takes a lot of time to make people who are mature in faith. You ever watch a cocoon growing up? You see the cocoon develop from a caterpillar, and you know it's going to become a butterfly soon. But as little boys, it's not going fast enough, and you open up the cocoon prematurely, thinking that inside just a butterfly waiting to be let go. And it's an ugly sight. It's not ready yet. Something has to happen. And what God will do in teaching his people in the way of the wilderness is that there's no shortcuts out of the desert. There's no quick ways of solving problems. There's no immediate solutions to the kinds of challenges that present themselves. There is actually times to go down into a valley to get to a new peak. He needs to teach them that so that they will be ready one day for the calling that they have been given. And the way in which God does this is through clouds and light. You can look at this a couple different ways. The text doesn't help us really understand it other than we know pillar of cloud during the day, pillar of light by night. I kind of like to think about it, and some scholars do as well, is that they're the same thing, that when you have this pillar of the glory of God by light and this fiery presence, it's going to put off clouds. And during the daytime, the light becomes kind of in the background to the clouds that it's producing, but at night you really begin to see the light. However you like to look at it, it's the presence of God, in which during the day they see clouds, and at night they see light. It's a presence there. And I find that very intriguing as we look at our own lives. Because during the day, many of us have experienced, most of us have experienced these realities, that there's a lot of clouds that we face in our life during the day. Clouds of struggle. Clouds of difficulty. Clouds that don't seem to make sense. We want to see the vista in the way ahead. But all they could see in front of them was clouds, a pillar. Show us the vast terrain in which we're going. No, all they saw was clouds. And we want that for our own lives. We want to be able to see what's ahead. What is the place to which we're going? I want to see it clearly. I want to know the kind of obstacles that we're going to face. You ever climb a mountain in fog? It's really an odd experience. You don't know what kind of elevation you're at. You don't know whether you're lost or not. You really have to trust your compass and hope the trail is kept up and the right one you're supposed to be following. It's a disorienting experience. Clouds are difficult. Sometimes the clouds of pain and struggle in our life don't seem to make a whole lot of sense when we think God should be opening the way and letting us see. But all He gives us is clouds. But in the Bible, despite the fact that clouds can be disorienting, despite the fact that clouds can be kind of stifling, despite the fact that clouds can seem to be oppressing, they are literally the presence of God, a sign that He's there, a sign that He hasn't given up. It's a song that Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote based on a devotional by Oswald Chambers called "Sometimes He Comes in the Clouds." Sometimes His face cannot be found. Sometimes the sky is dark and gray. Some things can only be known, but sometimes our faith can only grow when we can't see. Sometimes He comes in the clouds. They were asked to simply trust that His presence was there. All they could see was the clouds. And that's what they followed. And yet when they get to the night, we know the experience of night is a cold reality. We know it's dark. We know it's cold. It's easy to be lost at night. But it's a great thing that at night He gives light. And when it's cold, there's this sense that, oh, He's still there. And I've seen many people in life who are very frustrated by the clouds. By the time they get to their own night experience in life, they want to give it up altogether. They say, I'm done with this, trusting in the Lord. And good grief, if they don't open their eyes and see a flash of light, a sign of hope, a word from a friend, a biblical text that jumps out at them, light shining. Now, it would be nice if we could have just massive light and during the day where there's no night and no clouds, but this isn't the way in which faith is formed. God wants His people to trust Him, to follow Him, to know that though the clouds surround His presence, His glory is still there. And even in the cold of the night, His light is still there saying, I'm going to lead you. It is the Advent story, the star by which the journey is made. This is the pillar of light by which the people are led through this wilderness reality as He prepares them to go into the promised land. Where is God leading you today? What way is He guiding you and asking you to trust Him? Do you look at the clouds in your life as the sign that He's given up on you? Or could some way and in some fashion they be the actual reality of the presence of God, His glory sitting upon us even when we don't see or understand what He's doing? And are you following the light? Are you trusting in the light that it wants to lead you through the darkness, that wants to lead you through those moments when you can't see very well and all you have is His word to go on? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Don't be discouraged by the wilderness. It is the way of faith. And trust that He's leading you by the clouds and by the light to form and to fashion to you into that which will be strong, that which will be courageous. The two words that go hand in hand together in these texts, be strong and be courageous. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens through the difficult terrain, the difficult circumstances of the wilderness. But the text says the clouds and the light did not depart from before the people. He does not leave us alone. Let us pray that we follow His leading and trust that both clouds and light are signs of His glorious presence in this walk of faith. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You would lead us. We need Your presence. Help us to see. That Your word is the light. And that Your presence is there even when the circumstances don't seem to make sense of it all. Sometimes You come in the clouds. Sometimes You shine in the light. But You never leave us. Help us to follow Your leading. And to know, however down we may be, Your glory is with us. No matter how confused we might seem, the smallest flash of light will shine in darkness somehow. Lead us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.